For Wyoming Public Radio News, I'm Caroline Ballard. Earlier this month, U.S. Senator Mike Enzi announced he will not seek re-election in 2020, opening up one of Wyoming's three congressional seats. In a new piece, Casper Star Tribune politics reporter Nick Reynolds takes a deep dive into the news and what it could mean for Wyoming. And he joins me now. Welcome, Nick.
Hey there.
So Senator Enzi announced his retirement pretty early, about 18 months out of the election. Is that normal?
In Wyoming politics and national politics in general, this is not normal at all. The last three members of Congress from Wyoming to retire in their seats, that would be Representative Cynthia Lummis, Al Simpson in 1996, and Malcolm Wallop in 1994, all announced their retirements in November prior to the election. According to a 2010 analysis by University of Minnesota political scientist Eric Ostermeyer, the average length of a successful Senate campaign in the last decade was 447 days, roughly 15 months. For reference, we now have 18 months until Election Day. Something around the country is changing, however. We had a number of early retirements in the Senate this year. New Mexico Senator Tom Udall, Kansas Republican Pat Roberts, Democrat Barbara Mikulski, and Republican Lamar Alexander, who announced his retirement all the way back in December, have already given up their seats, sort of setting off a frenzy for the Senate. What does this mean? Of course, that pricier races and a higher barrier of entry. We sort of saw a much more expensive campaign in this past governor's race. It was actually the most expensive campaign ever run in the history of Wyoming politics. And we could probably expect to see much of the same this year.
I think one of the questions on everyone's minds is, what does this mean for the candidate field? Who might be possible choices?
Well, from the get-go, any Senate race means only people with a lot of money or a lot of name recognition can enter. Early names floated by GOP folks around the state who could potentially mount a Senate bid are folks who have already built up a fair amount of name recognition in the past couple of years. Folks like Harriet Hageman, Matt Mead, or David Dodson come to mind, although in an interview earlier this week, David Dodson told me he wasn't planning on running this time. Most eyes right now are on individuals like Liz Cheney. She's currently third in command in the House minority with the GOP and has been rumored to potentially be a Speaker of the House one day should they take that back. However, a Senate seat is a Senate seat. They only come up every so often. In this case, we haven't had an open seat in more than 20 years. So that is obviously weighing in her mind to get out of that two-year campaign cycle and potentially go for a bigger seat. We've also, as we reported earlier this week, seen Cynthia Lummis consider a run. She actually left Congress several years ago, mostly for family-related issues, and is actually thinking on getting back into the game, according to numerous people close to her. But how the rest of the field shapes up really depends primarily on Liz. If she does stay in that House seat, the Senate race is probably going to be limited to a couple of those big names we mentioned earlier. However, if Liz Cheney does go onto the Senate, which traditionally has had much more money thrown at it, a lot more national interest, you could see a free-for-all in the House race, potentially filled with legislators, maybe some lower-level state officials. I've heard names like Jillian Bailo thrown out there as potentially running. It's anticipated to be nuts either way.
What do you think might be a winning message for any of these potential candidates in the race?
Well, it's a national campaign this time, and it's based on national issues. You know, you don't see Liz Cheney talking about coal miners all the time, as opposed to, say, you know, border security, foreign wars, et cetera. Obviously, in Wyoming, President Donald Trump counts, I believe, the second highest approval rating out of any state in the union. However, you can't necessarily live and die by the president. Something I've heard a lot of GOP operatives talk about was running a campaign that's really Wyoming-centric, a winning message first and foremost is a pro-Wyoming message. Tariffs are bad for us in most cases, oil and gas. Typically, we want to keep that in the forefront, whether it's on climate change, for example. We want to find solutions that, first and foremost, don't hurt the state. You're sort of seeing that a lot with John Barrasso's messaging in the Senate right now. When he was opposing the Green New Deal, for instance, he was keeping it very specific to Wyoming, talking about the economic implications of something like that. finding ways to keep oil and gas in the conversation around fighting climate change and finding practicable solutions. That's something that resounds with voters and keeps you sounding like a realistic and pragmatic candidate. We also, of course, have this sort of theme in Wyoming politics where opposition to big government is also key. That was something that Mark Gordon emphasized heavily in his run for the governor's race. And it's something that we typically see from our D.C. delegation as well. Less regulation is good for Wyoming, and that seems to be a winning message so far.
Casper Star Tribune politics reporter Nick Reynolds, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.